Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Karen Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Karen, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And if you don't have a copy of my book, you can get the first six chapters free as a download right on my website, www.karenkarn.com. Put your name and email address in, you get on my mailing list, and I'll send you the link. You can download your excerpt and also give you access to my five initial free classes of Fast Track Your Healing program. These are online classes on demand that you can watch at any time, and we cover things like law of attraction, releasing emotional baggage, using the body code intuitive system to heal your body, and self-muscle testing. So make sure you get on my mailing list to get all those yummy bonuses. And today we're going to be talking about fat, fat in the diet, actually. So when I was in medical school, we were taught that we should be telling our patients to eat a low-fat diet, especially if they had heart disease or diabetes. We told them they should have a low-fat diet because fat, of course, obviously makes you fat. And so I told my dad, who had diabetes, and his whole family had heart disease, actually, that he should be on a low-fat diet. So now, come 20 years later, I'm looking at documentaries, reading about how we maybe have gotten it all wrong, and the original studies that talked about the benefits of a low-fat diet weren't actually really good studies to begin with. In fact, there wasn't really any showing that it's actually helpful to go on a low-fat diet. Go figure. So I came across this movie called Serial Killers, and I thought it was so funny because it was cereal, as in like eating breakfast cereal, Serial Killers. And it's about this man, Donald O'Neill, who is our guest today, who, you know, he looks lean, he looks fit, you know, he's a healthy, you know, 40-something-year-old. And I thought, well, why would he bother changing his diet? It looks like everything's going great. But his dad, Kevin, suffered a heart attack. And his family and friends were just totally shocked because his dad was a lean, fit, elite athlete who had multiple cardiac stress tests. That's the really interesting key here. Multiple stress tests that he just sailed through perfectly. And then how did he suddenly get a heart attack? And, like me, he has diabetes in his family as well. So he decided that he was going to turn the American food pyramid upside down. And instead of doing the low-fat diet, go on a high-fat diet for 28 days. And I thought it was interesting because when I heard about this movie and watched it, I just read about the ketogenic diet, which is about a high-fat, moderate protein intake diet, and how it can really be helpful for people with thyroid issues and people with diabetes. And I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? And I've been telling my dad to eat a low-fat diet, you know, for many, many years. And can you imagine eating 70% of your calories in fat per day? Mm-hmm. Yep. And I've actually done it. And, you know, I can't say I keep track of it very, very carefully. But, you know, it's not that hard. And amazingly, you don't feel like you're eating more. In fact, sometimes you feel like you're eating less because you're just not, you're more satiated. You know, you're not as hungry. And so today with Donald, we're going to talk about how fat and carb intake is connected to heart disease, diabetes, and obesity, and why the fear around fat intake can be causing serious nutritional deficiencies for maybe you and your family. So if you want to call in and ask a question, the number to call in is 818-514-1190. Again, the number to call in is 818-514-1190. So right now we're still waiting for Donald to call in. I'm not sure if he's calling in from the UK or from the US, or whether there's any, technical difficulty, because sometimes there is. But if you'd like to call in and tell us about your experiences, if you've ever tried a low-fat diet, I'd love to hear about that. And how many of you have actually been told, low-fat versus high-fat diet, what that's about. And what I noticed with the low-fat diet is that I totally wanted to eat a ton of stuff, more than usual. So let's check and see. Again, if you want to call in and ask a question of Donald, the number to call in is 818-514-1190, and just hit 1 so we know that your hand is up. So welcome, Donald.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi there. So what time is it over where you are?
I'm in Cape Town, South Africa. I'm not sure we have a great line, but it's just after 7 p.m. for us, which is just afternoon for you guys, I imagine.
Yes, exactly. Well, we hear you perfectly well, and I just told everybody about your story about your dad, having been so young and so, seemingly healthy, and then having a heart attack, and you setting out to decide, hey, maybe I can do something to tweak my genes so I don't get the same kind of thing that my family members do. So tell us a little bit about the making the movie and, what anything else inspired you to actually do a movie on this.
Well, as you've mentioned, I've just been listening to you for the last couple of minutes. The motivation was really to try and understand why my father would have had a cardiovascular event, if you like, having passed all these stress tests and appeared very healthy and robust throughout his life. So we were all pretty shocked at that, and it started out as nothing more than really personal interest, and I just got somewhat carried away with that, and 3 years later I found myself producing a movie. And I guess I had moved to Cape Town in South Africa during that process of investigation and research, and I was very fortunate to win the support of Professor Tim Noakes, who is one of the most eminent sports scientists in the world, particularly for endurance running and such. So he then gave me access to the incredible resources that they enjoy here at the Sports Science Institute of South Africa, and we used his facility for the filming of the movie, and we got access to his team of doctors and medics and experts, and he is really the protagonist behind all of this. So I'm always eternally grateful to Professor Tim Noakes in that respect.
Oh, yeah, that was great to have him in the movie. And, when he started ripping out pages from his own book, that was really something. I guess, we change and our recommendations change, and certainly my recommendations to my patients have changed a lot. And most people still, still believe the whole low-fat diet thing. And, in fact, there's a lot of processed food here in America that pushes the low-fat diet. I don't say there's not a single processed food that exclaims, high fat, buy me,
yeah.
I'm high fat. So you were really doing something out of the norm, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. But this weekend in Cape Town, there's been a world first, which was a sort of low-carbohydrate, high-fat whole foods conference, the Old Mutual Health Conference or convention, for anybody who wants to look it up. But Tim Noakes hosted that. There were 500 medical attendees, so it turned into something really quite dramatic. And the quality of presenters, many of them were from the U.S. And international visitors, was really quite fantastic. So things are moving. I think the clock is ticking on low fat foods, and I think if anybody could see what Professor Tim Noakes has done with the city of Cape Town and, to a lesser extent, the entire country of South Africa, he has changed perceptions. And you can go into a supermarket here and you will find it difficult to find full-fat products, not because they're not there, but because they've been sold out. So he is actually impacting life on the street here, and you'll see restaurants advertising Noakes-friendly breakfasts and lunches and dinners, and it's really quite remarkable to see that happen. But this is just one city worldwide. It would be great to see that type of progress take place elsewhere. But there are billions and billions of dollars and policy measures standing in the way, and there's still some way to go. But I think there's plenty of hope.
Sorry, Donald, I lost the connection for a bit.
Oh, no problem. Am I back?
But so you probably had some blank space there, so I apologize about that. What do you think some of the key things that you found at this conference or since making the movie that you feel people really need to know about?
Well, we're just about to launch our second movie next week, and we screened that. We had a private screening at the conference because one of the things that has emerged for me in the making of the first movie was that there were a number of elite athletes who were adopting this type of diet, and that's really interesting from a number of perspectives because, you know, athletes get paid millions of dollars to endorse Gatorade and, you know, interests or carb interest products, let's say.
Oh, right.
And to find out that, you know, some world-class athletes are actually eating higher fat whole foods diets and shunning sports drinks and sugar as energy, that's interesting. I got invited out to the LA Lakers training facility a number of weeks back when we were premiering the movie in San Francisco. And that was really incredible to learn that Kobe Bryant and some of the LA Lakers are actually eating this way. So that's something that is starting to gain momentum. I found out just this weekend from one of the conditioning coaches of one of the world's most famous soccer teams, they have an entire team, a professional team on the diet. They're not telling anybody about it publicly just yet. I can't say who they are, but this is happening, and it's very real in professional sport. And I think above and beyond the message that fat is healthy and whatnot, the ability to have superstars walking this walk and telling their story, I think, will possibly have a greater impact than many other channels that this news will travel down. So that's exciting.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true, because sometimes, you know, the average person, at least here in America, is not necessarily going to be reading or looking up, you know, the same kind of information that I am, because I'm personally interested in, but they may be real sports fans or, you know, have their stars in the athletic world, and if they're eating this way, that'd be a great encouragement. Well, you know, in terms of the speakers that you had, had listened to and watched, would you say there's like why would eating high fat be helpful to the body, like nutritionally, versus, you know, the low fat diet? Like, we believe that, you know, eating fat, saturated fat, you know, fat is bad for your heart, and you've kind of proven in your movie, at least through your personal experience, that not really. You know, all your biological biometrics, for example, got better. You got even leaner than you were already, more muscle mass. That was pretty impressive. But why would eating high fat be helpful at all?
Well, I think Dr. Stephen Finney, who's the author of two fantastic books, and we feature him in our second movie, he nailed it with one sentence over the weekend, and he reminded us that, you know, it's the level of fatty acids in the blood that we need to look out for. And anybody who eats a diet high in mono or saturated fats, they're going to have less in the blood, and they're going to have a healthier metabolic profile. And it seems counterintuitive because of everything we've seen and been told. And I remember in the UK there was an old advert where they showed a kitchen sink drain clogging up with fat, and they tried to suggest that this was the visual as to what would happen in your arteries. And that's something that, you know, was very powerful, and people obviously believed it, as did many medical experts, and they still do. But it's just not the case, and there's no pathway that physiologically will make that happen, you know, through the mechanisms that are being suggested by conventional medical recommendations. So it's just a fact that eating fat will not make you fat, and if you're eating healthy whole foods with a high fat content, and you're eating a lower carbohydrate base in your diet, you're going to become metabolically healthier. And I think that's really been proven beyond any doubt at this point. It's getting that message out to the wider public, which is the real challenge. But you know, the trials are there, the evidence is there, and I think we just need to see the policy measures fall into place. And Sweden was the first country really to do that, where they endorsed a high-fat diet as a healthy option. And you know, Sweden is one of the leanest nations in Europe. So you see countries like Norway, where they had a run on butter about 2-3 years ago, and they actually ran out. Mm. But I can tell you, you walk down the streets of Oslo, and you will see some very beautiful, healthy people. So it's not a city full of overweight people by any means. So there are pockets of, you know, be they cities or smaller countries, where whole foods are the preferred option. And, you know, these people are just healthier. And they're not eating low-fat foods. They're eating wholesome, higher-fat products that are naturally occurring. So I don't think people are interested in trying to understand the physiological pathways as to why triglycerides go down and HDL goes up and LDL drops, etc., or it may go up, but it's the particle size that really matters. It can get very, very confusing for the average person. And then when you look at a standard blood panel, it's not necessarily going to give them the information that they need. But one of the very best pathologists in the world is an Australian called Dr. Ken Sakaris, and we had him review my bloods after the making of the movie. And what he did was he pointed out the misperceptions that could lead a medic or anyone else to believe that my bloods were in fact unhealthy. But he very quickly dispelled those and pointed out that to the contrary, it was a magnificent blood panel, which I was obviously very glad to hear. But you know, there's just misinformation. I don't think we can expect general practitioners to be experts in everything. And certainly in my journey, I've discovered that the level of ignorance on something like cholesterol that then exacerbates itself with inadequate blood panel testing is probably one of the most dangerous and damaging aspects of modern medical care.
I couldn't agree more, actually. Sometimes it's quite a fight to convince my patients to stop, or new patients especially, to stop their Lipitor and their lower, you know, cholesterol drugs, and to change their diet and do exactly opposite of what they've been told by their other doctors, and they're getting all these side effects. So it is really frustrating. And I'm a doctor, and they won't listen to me all the time because their other doctor says they have to take it. And there's very, I interviewed Johnny Bowden, who is the co-author of The Cholesterol Myth. And, you know, he says, look, these doctors have not had 1 year's whole time to look at every single piece of data related to cholesterol and heart disease. But I have, and so has Dr. Sinatra. And I can tell you, there's not a lot of good evidence out there that this, you know, taking these drugs are helpful. But the average person, the average doctor is not going to be able to really review that. We just kind of go by whatever our association says we should do, or whatever our journals say we can do. And, of course, they are supported by the pharmaceutical companies. So I just was so innocent and naive in thinking that, well, it must be gospel if it's in the journal, right? You know? So we're pretty behind, unfortunately. But thank goodness for, you know, people like you, and who can, you know, go out there and make a documentary that is really accessible to the average person, and is entertaining. And, you know, you really get, I mean, nobody's going to read the, you know, the kind of journals that we have, that are not always accurate. So I really appreciate you guys for doing this. Tell us a little bit about the second movie, and you know, who's in it, and what the you know, kind of like what your theme is.
Well, to be honest, it was more exciting than the first, because I come from a sporting background myself, and in the making of Serial Killers 1 and the distribution of the movie across the States, we were fortunate to come into contact with an incredible Finnish athlete named Sami Inkinen, who's a world amateur Ironman champion. He is he's also a successful tech entrepreneur, but his athletic exploits are absolutely world class, and he's achieved incredible things while holding down full-time jobs in the tech industry. And he's He's won a world title training 10, 12 hours a week and against an average of, say, 25 to 30 amongst athletes
wow.
of his ability, let's say. So he was remarkable, and what was even more remarkable was when he told me he was going to row to Hawaii from Monterey with his wife, unsupported, in a campaign against sugar. So this was their fat chance row, as they called it. And we put some cameras in the boat. We got in around Sammy and his wife, and they both ate about 70 to 75% fat on their diets. They didn't consume any processed sugars or carbohydrates on that journey. And, well, without giving it away, they've got a website up so you can find out quite easily, but they broke a world record and they remained fantastically healthy. There was no breakdown in the body. And they were running rowing obviously was what they were doing, but physically it was the equivalent of running two marathons each day for 45 days back to back. And in the last week, they were rowing up to 18 hours a day each. So they're remarkable people doing remarkable
wow.
things. And Dr. Stephen Finney advised them on their dietary regime for the row. But Sammy is somebody who has fat adapted himself over a sort of 4 or 5 year period. He's a data geek, and he's retained all that information in a manner which I imagine nobody else has probably done. So he was a fascinating topic for the movie. We had a great time following him and getting engaged with Steve Finney, who's written, let's say, the archetypal book for endurance performance for fat adapted athletes, which is The Art and Science of Low Carbohydrate Performance with Dr. Jeff Volek. So he's a hero of mine. So it was a lot of fun to meet him and engage with him and go to his home and see how he lives his life and what he eats and what he grows in his back garden, which is equally impressive, and to find out that he's a bit of an alchemist in the kitchen as well. So it was a lot of fun, and it's been very well received by athletes in particular, amongst those who have seen it. We've just premiered in San Francisco, and we've had a screening here in Cape Town. So it will be available online at runonfatmovie.com from March 1. So we're excited to get that out there and let the athletes take the message and carry it forward.
Oh, great. So that's www.runonfatmovie.com?
That's it, yeah. So it's...
Okay. Oh, perfect.
Yeah. And one of the questions that very often comes up around this, for those that know a little bit about it, the endurance and the ultra endurance athletes are now flocking to this process of fat adaptation. Mm. You've got some amazing ultra running races in the States. The Western States is one which starts up in Squaw Valley there in Tahoe, and that's been won by a guy called Timothy Olson, who's been fat adapted for a couple of years now, and he's essentially a bonk proof athlete. So these guys are capable of running and not hitting a wall because of the vast energy resources available to them when they're able to and capable of tapping into their fat for fueling purposes. And there's a study due out this year by Dr. Jeff Volek, the FASTER study, and I've had a glimpse at some of the results in that, and they're finding that these truly fat adapted athletes can perform at about 75% of their peak output without any requirement for carbohydrates. So that really turns in the same way that we turn the food pyramid on its head and serial killers, that kind of turns the sports science pyramid on its head, because these guys are not carb loading, they're doing the complete opposite, and they're breaking records, winning events. And then of course you have the athletes, the professional athletes like the Kobe Bryants, who are using this to their own benefit. And what the more explosive athletes find is if it's working for them, what they're finding is that in inflammation levels are reducing, their ability to recover, particularly for the older athletes, is improving. And there's a spectrum of benefits that sports scientists tend to not study. But when you add all that up and you consider the benefits to the athletes, let's say holistically, their ability to keep performing at the top level is something that becomes available to them over a longer period of time. So older athletes are using this. Bodie Miller did it in preparation for his Olympic bronze medal attempt. Lindsey Vonn is on it. And there are many, many athletes doing this that we're not familiar with because they're not telling us. But Marty Fish, when he reached the top of his game, it was towards the end of his career. He was kind of post-Pete Sampras, so he wouldn't have got much press in the US, I guess, but he was a fantastic tennis player, and he lost about 40 pounds on a low-carb diet and excelled in the latter years of his career. So we're seeing some remarkable things happen with athletes, and it's not true to say it's only for endurance athletes. There are benefits right across the board.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Fantastic. And, you know, the one question that, that's been posed is, we talked about high fat. What about protein? Now, in the Serial Killers movie, it sounded like you were on a high-protein diet, and I've heard that that might be harmful if there isn't carbohydrate, and that may or may not be based in science, but that maybe, I think it was after reading the ketogenic diet books, that they said a moderate protein is safer or better. So I don't know if any of the scientists that you talked to had any preference as far as high protein versus moderate protein and what's better with the high-fat diet.
Yeah, it's a very valid, important question. If you look at my macronutrient breakdown, however, I was still, I was pushing 70-plus percent from fat. So I was eating a lot of protein. I was just eating an enormous amount of fat. So the breakdown of that was still such that the fat was predominant. So I was probably in around the 15 to 20% protein, even though I was eating a lot of protein. But I consumed so much red meat. It was about, I think, about 5 pounds a week. I did that to demonstrate that red meat is not the bogeyman that we're being told. So that was put in. Yeah, so I wasn't strictly speaking exploring a ketogenic type diet. I didn't get into some of the other tools and tricks that are used in this area, including intermittent fasting and measuring ketones and all of that. I wanted to keep it super simple so people could digest one message as opposed to three. But you're absolutely right. You know, the mistake that people tend to make when they adopt this type of diet is that they go too heavy on the protein and they still have a fear of fat. So the lipophobia creeps in and they really don't embrace the fat enough, and they end up with something that's, it could be 50% protein, but they're not even close to getting enough fat. And we see that particularly with some females. My wife works closely with ladies in this space, and that's something that that creeps in there. Men tend to really feast on bacon and eggs, and I find them very, very straightforward to work with. But I can understand why the fat can, because we are engineered to think that this is gonna find its way onto our butt cheeks or whatever. So it can be disconcerting, but that tends to be the biggest mistake people make. And it must be a high-fat, moderate protein and low-carbohydrate approach, because that's what will be most effective.
Okay, great. Thank you for answering that. And, the other thing I was going to ask you is to make sure that people know, we talked about the second movie, runonfatmovie.com. Where can people find your first movie and view that, Serial Killers?
Well, they can link out from Run on Fat Movie, or they can just go to serialkillersmovie.com, and they can also watch it right there. So the website for the first movie is still up and live, but both websites talk to each other and link out to each other, so they'll find both our movies there. We're also on Facebook, Serial Killers Movie, and Twitter, Serial Killers 13.
Okay, perfect. And I just wanted to make a point for my listeners, because I know, you know, I talk a lot about food and quality of food, and I think it's still important to say that, you know, if you can, the best is if you can do your high-fat diet with, you know, grass-fed meats and, wild-caught fish and, you know, quality, you know, farmer's market versus the store-bought stuff, which is laden with antibiotics and hormones and genetically modified foods, because I do think on a DNA level, on an energetic level, it does make a difference. So I don't know whether that's something that you guys cover in the movies at all, but I just wanted to make that point out there for the folks wanting to do a high-fat diet who are listeners of mine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, and it is a point that we touch on, but what we try to do is not ostracize people who perhaps can't afford the grass-fed meats and whatnot. So,
right.
You know, what I would always tell people is, you know, spend your money on the fats and the proteins, and you know, get the best eggs you can get, and you know, if there's grass-fed mince available, that's something that I use to make burgers, for example, because it tends to be cheaper than the leaner cuts. Some of the leaner cuts don't have enough fat in there anyway, so you can find ways around, you know, stretching the budget to get the best possible protein sources for your household. So, I think there's ways and means of doing this, and you know, offal and you know, liver and kidneys and these types of things are incredibly nutritious and very cost effective ways of doing that.
Great point. Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that you took the time out from your schedule to talk with us today and our listeners. Congratulations, you know, for a very successful movie, and congratulations for the launch of your second movie. How exciting. I look forward to watching that, Donald.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, same here, and thanks everyone for listening in. Goodbye for now. Take care.